Chapter 10. Ah, Cole. Lead bullets are not all that wound. I have a feeling here of dying fires, a sense of strong and deep unworded censure, which, compassing about my private life, makes all my public service lusterless in my own eyes. I fear I am much condemned for those dear Naples and Palermo days, under who was the sunshine of them all. He who is with himself dissatisfied, though all the world find satisfaction in him, is like a rainbow-colored bird gone blind, that gives delight it shares not. Happiness? It's the philosopher's stone, no alchemy shall light on this world I am weary of. Smiling I'd pass to my long home tomorrow, could I with honor, and my country's gain. But let's adjourn. I waste your hours ashore by such ill-timed confessions. They pass out of sight, and the scene closes. Scene 2. Off Ferrol, the French and Spanish combined squadrons. On board the French admiral's flagship, Villeneuve is discovered in his cabin, writing a letter. Spirit of the pities, he pens in fits, with pallid restlessness, like one who sees misfortune walk the wave, and can nor face nor flee it. Spirit of the years, he indites to his long friend the minister Desser's words that go heavily. Villeneuve writing, I am made the arbiter in vast designs whereof I see black outcomes. Do I this, or do I that, success, that loves to jilt her anxious wooer for some careless blade, will not reward me. For, if I must pen it, demoralized past prayer in the marine bad masts, bad sails, bad officers, bad men. We cling to naval techniques long outworn, and time and opportunity do not avail me to take up new. I have long suspected such, but till I saw my helps, the Spanish ships, I hoped somewhat. Brest is my nominal port, yet if so, Calder will again attack now reinforced by Nelson or Cornwallis and shatter my whole fleet. Shall I admit, that my true inclination and desire is to make Cadiz straightway, and not Brest? Alas! Thereby I fail the Emperor, but shame the Navy less. Your friend, Villeneuve, General Lauriston enters.
Lauriston, Admiral, my missive to the Emperor, which I shall speed by special courier from Ferrol this near eve, runs thus and thus. Gravina's ships, in Ferrol here at hand, embayed but by a temporary wind, are all we now await. Combined with these we sail ere from to Brest, there promptly give Cornwallis battle, and release Gantome, thence, all united, bearing channelwards. A step that sets in motion the first wheel in the proud project of your majesty now, to be engined to the very close, to wit. That a French fleet shall enter in, and hold the channel 24 hours. Such clear assurance to the Emperor, that our intent is modeled on his will I hasten to dispatch to him forthwith. 4. Villeneuve, yes, Lauriston. I sign to every word.
Lauriston goes out. Villeneuve remains at his table in reverie.
Spirit of the years, we may impress him under visible shapes, that seem to shed a silent circling doom. He's such an one as can be so impressed, and this much is among our privileges, well bounded as they be. Let us draw near him.
The spirits of ears, and of the pities, take the form of seabirds, which alight on the stern balcony of Villeneuve's ship, immediately outside his cabin window. Villeneuve after a while looks up, and sees the birds watching him with large piercing eyes.
Villeneuve, my apprehensions even outstep their cause, as though some influence smote through yonder pane.
He gazes listlessly, and resumes his broodings.
Why dared I not disclose to him my thought, as nightly worded by the whistling shrouds, that Brest will never see our battle hulls helming to north in pomp of canonry, to take the front in this red pilgrimage? If so it were, now, that I'd screen my skin from risks of bloody business in the brunt, my axe could scarcely wear a difference. Yet I would die tomorrow not ungladly so far removed as carcass care from me. For no self do these apprehensions spring, but for the cause. Yes, rotten is our marine, which, while I know, the Emperor knows not, and the pale secret chills. Though some there be, would beard contingencies and buffet all, I'll not command a course so conscienceless. Rather I'll stand and face Napoleon's rage when he shall learn what mean the ambiguous lines that facts have forced from me. Spirit of the pities, to the spirit of ears, O eldest born of the unconscious cause, if such thou beest, as I can fancy thee, why dost thou rack him thus? Consistency might be preserved, and yet his doom remain. His olden courage is without reproach, albeit his temper trends toward gain-giving. Spirit of the years, I say, as I have said long heretofore, I know but narrow freedom. Feel'st thou not we are in its hand, as he? Here, as elsewhere, we do but as we may, no further dare. The birds disappear, and the scene is lost behind sea mist. Scene 3, the camp and harbor of Bowland, the English coast in the distance. Near the tour d'order stands a hut, with sentinels and aides outside. It is Napoleon's temporary lodging, when not at his headquarters at the Chateau of Pont de Brix, 2 miles inland. Dumb show, a courier arrives with dispatches, and enters the Emperor's quarters, whence he emerges and goes on with other dispatches to the hut of Dessers, lower down. Immediately after, Napoleon comes out from his hut with a paper in his hand, and musingly proceeds towards an eminence commanding the channel. Along the shore below are forming in a far-reaching line more than 100,000 infantry. On the downs, in the rear of the camps, 15,000 cavalry are maneuvering, their accoutrements flashing in the sun like a school of mackerel. The flotilla lies in, and around the port, alive with moving figures. With his head forward, and his hands behind him, the Emperor surveys these animated proceedings in detail, but more frequently turns his face toward the telegraph on the cliff to the southwest, erected to signal when Villeneuve and the combined squadrons shall be visible on the west horizon. He summons one of the aides, who descends to the hut of Dessers. Dessers comes out from his hut, and hastens to join the Emperor. Dumb show ends. Napoleon and Dessers advance to the foreground of the scene. Napoleon, Dessers, this action with Sir Robert Calder 3 weeks ago, whereof we dimly heard, and clear details of which I have just unsealed, is on the whole auspicious for our plan. It seems that 20 of our ships and Spain's none over 80 guns, and some far less engaged the English off Cape Finisterre with 15 vessels of 100 each. We coolly fought, and orderly as they, and, but for mist, we had closed with victory. 2 English were much mauled, some Spanish damaged, and Calder then drew off with his 2 wrecks and Spain's in tow, we giving chase forthwith. Not overtaking him, our admiral, having the coast clear for his purposes, entered Coruna, and found order there to open the port of Brest, and come on hither. Thus hastes the moment, when the double fleet of Villeneuve, and of Gantome should appear.
He looks again towards the telegraph.
Dessers, with hesitation, and should they not appear, your majesty? Napoleon, not? But they will, and do it early too. There's nothing hinders them. My God, they must, for I have much before me, when this stroke at England's dealt. I learn from Talleyrand, that Austrian preparations threaten hot, while Russia's hostile schemes are ripening, and shortly must be met. My plan is fixed. I am prepared for each alternative. If Villeneuve come, I brave the British coast, convulse the land with fear.
'Tis even now so far distraught, that generals cast about to find new modes of warfare, yea, design carriages to transport their infantry.
Dot once on the English soil I hold it firm, descend on London, and the while my men salute the dome of Paul's I cut the knot of all Pitt's coalitions, setting free from bondage to a cold manorial caste a people who await it.
They stand and regard the chalky cliffs of England, till Napoleon resumes,
Should it be even that my admirals fail to keep the tryst a thing scarce thinkable, when all's reviewed I strike this seaside camp, cross Germany, with these 200,000 seasoned men, and pause not till within Vienna's walls I cry checkmate. Next, Venice too, being taken, and Austria's other holdings down that way, the Bourbons also driven from Italy, I strike at Russia each in turn, you note, ere they can act conjoined. Report to me what has been scanned today upon the main, and on your passage down request them there to send Daru this way. Desers,
as he withdraws,
the Emperor can be sanguine. Scarce can I. His letters are more promising than mine. Alas, alas, Villeneuve, my dear old friend, why do you pen me this at such a time?
He retires reading Villeneuve's letter. The Emperor walks up and down till Daru, his private secretary, joins him.
Napoleon, come quick, Daru, sit down upon the grass, and write whilst I am in mind. First to Villeneuve. I trust, Vice Admiral, that before this date your fleet is opened breast and gone. If not, these lines will greet you there. But pause not, pray. Waste not a moment dallying. Sail away. Once bring my coupled squadrons channelwards and England's soil is ours. All's ready here, the troops alert, and every store embarked. Hold the Nicee, but 24 hours and our vast end is gained. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.